Hello, this is the 7th episode of the Faith Parallel. I am the Hopperian. This is Alan Mosley. How are you doing, sir?
You haven't gotten us a little intro yet with, like, you know, just a static image with no animation, with generic dad rock, with a really grainy voiceover of, I'm Shane, and I'm Alan. And this is the 38th parallel. Come on, you know.
I should do some AI or something. AI generate our voices.
Oh, man. Did you see the song from It's Too Late Wednesday Night? I had an AI. There's an account that has nothing but AI generated songs. And oh, my God. So I played a song that's in the, it's kind of like in the style of oldies, Detroit, you know, Motown type sound, and okay, the song is called "I Glued My Balls to My Butthole Again," and it's,
that doesn't sound pleasant.
No, it's pretty incredible. I'm not gonna lie to you. I've been humming it all week.
Well, I gotta check that out. I don't know how I missed that. Well, so I guess we'll just get into it. But actually, before I get into the major news that everybody was talking about, mm-hmm. if you're perpetually online all the time, mm-hmm. Like myself and you, sort of, but not as much as me, probably, because I have no life. So I did a poll recently, and I think we talked about it. I can't remember if we talked about it in the last show or if it was off the air.
Yeah.
So I did a poll. It was, which group of people do you think plays the biggest victim?
Okay.
And the choices were the Jews, the blacks, blacks, LGBTs, women, not white women, but just women in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the winner by 6% was Jews with 36%.
Mm-hmm.
They played the biggest victim. LGBTs came in second with 30%. And then third place was blacks with 18% and women with 16%. So that's the end all be all of all the polls. And so now we know that Jews played the biggest victim in the world. You're welcome.
Yeah. I'm happy that the correct answer did get the most votes, but it only got 30. It got like a plurality, right? Not a majority. So yeah. So there was 70.
It was close.
There was 74% of respondents just got it wrong. It wasn't really a poll. It was a question, and there was one correct answer. And you actually made the correct answer A in your multiple choice, and that many people got it wrong.
Yeah. So now with Jews and LGBTs getting the top two, like they're the top two finalists. So the next poll that I was going to do after that was, which one has done the most damage to Western civilization?
Mm-hmm.
Jews or the LGBTs?
Mm-hmm.
You can make an argument that one led to the other.
Well, that second one is completely promoted and subsidized by the first one. So,
right. Correct. Yeah.
So really any damage they did counts for A, not B. So again,
I think what we're trying to say is that the Jews are, you know, they should be eliminated, and there should be some kind of like final solution.
Oh, okay. we're only 4 minutes into the show, Shane. You gotta, don't you know anything about the algorithms that you have to wait like 10 or 15 minutes before you drop those little bloop, you know, right there?
Oh,
there.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
Oh,
so this show is
the
done,
Jews are
buddy.
Great. No, hold on a second.
No.
Wait a minute.
The fact that you even said the word Jews, it's over.
Son of a.
It's over.
Dang. Dude. I should have waited until after.
Well, but the thing is, though, for, you know, For first time listeners, last time chatters, what Shane is trying to say is he's really talking about like the Zionist Jews,
because the globalists, right?
Yeah, like because there's
Alex
plenty
Jones said, globalist.
Yeah, there's lots of Western Jews that have no ties to Israel, you know, for instance, and
how do you know?
Are, well, I mean, they say that. I mean, I guess they're lying. It's a weird play for them to be actively opposing their other camp's worldview, but I mean, you know, they do exist. You know, I tell you what, this here, I'll give you a freebie. I'm not going to do this poll. I'm going to let you do it, and we'll keep it as just content for this show, and I totally won't steal it and put it on It's Too Late. All right, you ready?
Do you want to tweet this out, or is this specifically for the show?
No, this will be for this show, and you're going to do it. I'm just telling you, this is a poll for you to do, and it's just going to be an A or B to answer poll. Which of these groups has been more damaging to Western civilization, i.e. Israel and Zionism? American Jews or American evangelicals? Like Christians. American evangelical Christians or American Jews? Now, see, that's a trick question, because some people might say that, well, that if you're blaming problems on Israel, then the Jews would be the ones responsible. But I would argue that the American evangelical Christians that blindly support Israel, despite the fact that Israel hates them and everything they stand for, and it's not a secret, like this isn't a conspiracy theory, they openly say all the time how much they hate American Christians and consider you cattle at best. So which one has been more harmful to America, American Jews or American Christian evangelicals who support Israel? So you might have to work on the wording a little bit to make sure that people understand what you're asking, but that's a more interesting question, because there is certainly a Jewish population in the United States, but it's pretty small. The Jewish population, I mean, because one of the things that gets talked about a lot is that the, particularly on the left, they're all about equity, right? And equality. And they constantly talk about representation. That's a big thing, is representation. It's like, well, we need to see more representation in TV and movies and, you know, government. But Jews are so overwhelmingly overrepresented in key industries, obviously financial, banking, and in government. And that's a huge one. Jews are so overwhelmingly overrepresented in American government as to be saying that, well, in me, again, I'm talking to a leftist. If you're a leftist and you think that there should be more equitable representation in government, then you would want 98% of the Jews in government to be removed from those positions and then replaced with other minorities. I'm not saying that that's right, by the way, because I don't believe in that. I'm just saying that if you believe in that, then you wouldn't be trying to remove white representatives and put in black representatives. You'd be removing Jewish representatives first, because they're so overwhelmingly overrepresented. The country is predominantly white, so if the Congress is predominantly white, that makes sense. But if, and particularly in bureaucratic positions, like the cabinetry in Washington, D.C. is like 89% Jewish or dual citizenship Israel.
Yeah.
You realize for them to even have one is actually too high. Like we'll say they get to have one, even though it would be like 0.3. We'll say that they get to have one, but more than one is too many. They have like 80 or 90%, dude. So
I'm just
simply saying, if I'm talking, if you hear my voice and you're someone who's all about that equal representation thing, then you need to try to get as many of the Jews removed from office in America as you possibly can, because they're overwhelmingly overrepresented. I'm just saying. But look, I mean, hey, we're not into that on this show. I'm just saying, if you're into that, that's your target.
Well, I guess to kind of go along with what you're saying, a jumping off point would be, if we're all about, or not us, but if there's people out there who are for equal representation, then it should be a representation of the population, like the demographic population. So like, say for example, just for hypothetical, putting out numbers out there, if blacks took up 10% of the American population, you would think maybe in Congress or whoever, whatever governing bodies in your local county or city or whatever, you would think that percentage of however many blacks are in that town would be represented in that governing body. And then the same with the, like the whole country, there's 10% of blacks that are in America, 10% would be representing in Congress or something like that. And of course there's more whites, there's majority white. So of course you see a lot more whites in Congress. You would see maybe like one Asian, because Asians, they're a small minority. But how many Jews are there in America? I don't know. I don't have the numbers on top of my head on how many Jews there are. Like the people that actually specifically say, I am a Jew, I identify as a Jew. How many is that? What's the percentage of that? What would be the, I don't know. I'm going to.
2.4%.
2.4%. Okay. The people that actually went into the census and say, I identify as a Jew, 2.4% should be representing in Congress or wherever. Let's just say Congress, 2.4%. But yeah, you're right. Like fucking, what is it? Like 80, 90% of people are probably Jew. There might be some Christians too. It's probably like a balancing act, probably some kind of balancing act too, where there's a lot of Jews, but there's a lot of Christians too. But hey, I mean, you know, more Jews are going to be trying to get more kids to get circumcised and freaking LGBTQ stuff down our throat. So yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting thing to think about.
Yeah. So I had just pulled this up. So believe it or not, this is actually pretty interesting. I wouldn't have guessed this.
Yeah.
Roughly 13% of the U.S. population is black, and roughly 13% of the House and Senate is black. So that's, they're on. It's exactly representative. Now, of course, the tricky thing there is that each of those people being elected are being elected in specific districts or states, right?
Yeah.
So are they representative of the people from where they're from? That obviously I don't know, but for the nation as a whole, it's pretty much dead on. Now, the bigger issue with the Jews is that they're typically unelected bureaucrats. They're in cabinet positions. They get appointed. There's tons of Jewish bureaucrats. There's tons of Jews in the executive branch. There's tons of Jewish judges, for instance. Now, of elected positions, they make up is something like 9%. Now, they only make up 2% of the population. So they're still, you know, what is that, 4.5 times overrepresented in elected positions. But in unelected positions, there's something like 100 times overrepresented. That's not true. It's like they're more like 50 times overrepresented, but still, you know, like, but that, you know, the only way that that's possible is that they're a small minority, right? Like whites couldn't be overrepresented by that much because they're a majority of the population. They couldn't possibly be overrepresented by more than like 1.6 or 1.8 or something like that. But if you have a really, you know, like say if you had American Samoas and for some weird reason there was 70 members of Congress who were American Samoa, you'd be like, wait a minute.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
Now, you know, like in the NFL, for instance, they're enormously overrepresented in the NFL, but I don't care about that. You know, I'm we're talking about politics. They're not overrepresented in politics, but they are overrepresented in the NFL. But people who are overrepresented, basically, I bet you, I'm really surprised that the African-American one was pretty much dead on, because I would have been willing to make the guess that basically every single minority group you can think of is either heavily overrepresented or at least somewhat overrepresented. I mean, like take Asians, for instance, you know, there's way less Asian Americans than there are Black Americans. Cause I guess Hispanics have probably overtaken Blacks as the second or the largest minority.
Yeah.
And then Blacks would be the second or largest minority.
They're taking over.
When we say them, we're talking about the Mexicans.
Right. Right. Yeah. Let's call them them.
So now I can't help but look. So there's 9.6 5% of the total membership, which is a current record, is Hispanic or Latino. Now that's a tricky one. Let's see. Let me get the percentage of America. So the percentage of Americans that are Latino or Hispanic is 19.1%, which does make them the largest racial or ethnic minority. Yeah. So they're actually underrepresented by about half in Congress. But the real kicker, though, is that are we talking about citizens or just people currently in the country? Because I don't think they should be represented. I think they should be kicked out. But so much as they're here, I don't think they should be being represented. I don't think they should have any voice politically. Like, if I'm willing to go so far as to say, well, you're here and you're promising not to rape people and stab them in the throat, you can stay here. But you still basically get no rights. Nothing applies to you. You don't get to own anything. You can have a job. And you can send the money somewhere, but you certainly don't get a voice politically. Like, that's a big thing right now. They're trying to pass the SAFE Act because they're trying to guarantee that illegals are not going to be registered to vote. Of course, they're totally going to do it in a bunch of states anyway. They've been doing it for years. But I would say that absolutely 100% they shouldn't be represented in Congress. So if Google says that there's 64 million Hispanics and Latinos in the United States, are they talking about only counting people who are U.S. citizens, or are they saying that's just how many there are in the U.S. as a guesstimate and they don't have to be citizens? I don't know. It doesn't say. I'd have to dig deeper on that one. But if 19 point something percent of the population is Hispanic, but like half of those people aren't citizens, then actually their representation would be on, because then it would be only like 9 and 9. I don't know.
Yeah, especially with the Hispanic population, there's so many, like, are they legal, illegal? I don't even know. So yeah, there's a lot of crazy things going on with the whole population and all the, you know, I don't want to like talk about, you know, going too much into it, but I mean, obviously with the whole border thing and then people just crossing over. And but it's not just Latinos. Apparently, there's some Chinese people crossing over. I don't know what the hell is happening. It's that whole thing. So it's just a whole can of worms. It's ridiculous. But speaking of ridiculous, this is called a segue, folks. So it's also a callback to last episode. We talked about an Ontario resident who wanted both a vagina and a penis. I don't know if you remember this, Alan.
I tried to forget, but thanks for reminding me.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome.
Okay. Did he die of infection or something? AIDS? Did it get him?
No. Okay. Unfortunately, no AIDS. No AIDS for the hermaphrodite.
Yeah.
But they were wanting. So remember, they were wanting. They were in like some kind of legal battle to get some public funding. Well, guess what? They won their battle for public funding for their unique surgery. So a court has ruled Ontario must pay for a penis sparing vaginoplasty. I don't know how to pronounce that, but vaginoplasty for a person who identifies as neither fully female nor fully male, otherwise a crazy person. So like you were saying too, in the last episode, this Canada in general is an absolute like shit show, an absolute garbage fire.
Well, and of course, Ontario can't pay for anything. Only people can pay for things. A city can't pay for things. Only people can. So what they're really saying is that the people of Ontario will have X amount of money confiscated to pay for that surgery. Yeah. And anyone else's, because you know how that goes. So all the other crazy people are going to come along and say, well, you know. You know, I've been thinking a lot about that, though, because I'll tell you what. You see, like, obviously, in the case of men, they're not having babies. I don't care what you carve into your pelvis. They ain't getting pregnant and having kids. And so many, obviously, the women who then deform themselves, by and large, don't wind up conceiving and having kids. And then also, too, you have such a high percentage of like the hard left progressive types who are, have you guys, cause I know that there's someone else there in the background, but I won't say their name. Have you guys heard of people talking about Dinks, the dual income?
Oh, yeah.
Have y'all heard about all that stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I didn't know what that was until very recently. I saw that acronym and I was like, oh, they invented a new gender. I didn't know.
Yeah, they did the whole, hi, we're Dinks, blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, first of all, super weird, bud. Like, if that's what you want to do, that's fine. But the fact that you've labeled it and made it like a cult, that's super weird.
Yeah, it is.
Like, if that's what you want to do, it's what you want to do. Like, if, I mean, it's different things for different strokes for different folks. But the fact that they celebrate it, like, everything, every identity has to be celebrated. So the fact that they just simply want to have a two income household and no children, that's cause for celebration. So, but you have a really high percentage of people far left, and particularly women, because they're the ones who have babies. I'm sorry, censors on Google, women have babies and men don't. But so many of them are very religiously anti-child. Like,
yeah,
I'm not going to have kids. I don't want to be around kids. I only, like, I really only involve myself socially with this, you know, this group. My tribe are the Dinks. Doesn't this mean that they're gonna be gone soon? Like you guys are gonna raise your kid to reflect your values. They're going to, all they can do is try to take your kid and raise him to be their values, because they have no other options. That's the only option available to them, because they're not gonna do it. They're not gonna do the hard work. So my thing is, it's like I've come around to the position of, we just have to be really resolute about empowering parents to maintain the moral and philosophical compass of their family and instilling that in their kids. Because if you can prevent your child from getting the mind virus that those people have, then they just go away. They go extinct.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, everything in society is a fad. So maybe all this stuff is a fad, and in 20 years, no one's going to remember any of it. But like I said, I only recently saw like this whole social club of people celebrating being Dinks, and I didn't know what it was. I just scrolled right past it. I come to find out from someone later down the road that, oh, this is dual income, no kids. And they they all go get a dog and go on hikes and then die alone, I guess. I don't know, but I just assume that's what happens in the end.
No, good for them. If they don't want to have kids, then hey, more power to them.
That's fine. If that's what, yeah, that's fine. Whatever, you know, if that's what you want to do, that's fine. I just I don't tell my neighbors what I am. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
right,
do you guys have new neighbors move in next door and you say, hey guys, and then start listing the nouns and adjectives that describe your family? Like, that's super weird.
I use pronouns. I'm a he, him, and I'm black. Oh, thanks for letting me know. I couldn't tell just by looking at you.
Yeah, so I don't know. I feel like it all, maybe that's part of it. Maybe it just all comes around to, you can categorize people into two groups. People who demonstrate to you who and what they are just through their being, and the people who actually like have a bio and read it to you.
Yeah.
And those people,
like a no business thanks. Card.
Like, yeah.
They give you your business card.
Yeah. No, thanks.
Whew. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you knew what I was talking about, because if you had said, no, I'd never heard of that, then I'd be like, oh my God, time to go down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about these people.
Yeah, we've saw some of them. And I think after a couple of times we've watched, we're like, okay, we're done with this.
Yeah.
And you're probably right. It's probably going to be, I haven't seen any, so maybe it's done. They did the thing, you know, it's over. So, you know.
It's, it just can't be a coincidence that all these different little groups and tribes also just so happen to turn out to be oppressively uninteresting and uncouth people that you don't want to be around. Like it, yeah. It can't just be a coincidence. Like it's not just that they have different lifestyle and worldview. It's also that they're kind of disgusting and weird and you don't want to be around them. You know, it can't be a coincidence. Like I'm not trying to say that they're not normal, well-adjusted people, but they certainly prove themselves to not be normal, well-adjusted people more often than not. But I mean, you know, I know some older folks who maybe they wanted to have a family and it never happened or, mm-hmm. you know, that's fine. But they don't walk around telling people they're dinks, you know, I actually think of a guy right off the top of my head right now, and I won't say his name. But there's an older fella who lives here in Middle Tennessee who is very popular in the libertarian community. And he never had kids, and something that he often says is that, you know, well, I think of the young people that I've like mentored and stuff as my kids, but I never actually had any. And that's, right. you know, that in some ways it's like, well, that's kind of sad because he wanted to have some and didn't have a chance to. But on the other end, it's like, but that wasn't a cause for celebration. Like he doesn't go around bragging about it.
It's not in his bio or something on Twitter.
No, he doesn't talk about it at all because who does that? Like I just wouldn't meet someone for the first time at the grocery store and go into some of these kinds of details. It's just so weird.
Yeah, well, speaking of well-adjusted people, OJ Simpson died recently. Your thoughts?
Oh, well, I didn't know he was sick.
I didn't know either, to be completely serious. Mm-hmm. I had no idea.
How did he die?
I think it was prostate cancer.
Oh, he lost his battle with cancer.
Yeah. No, I think it ended up being a tie, actually.
A draw, but you were so close.
Oh, yeah. Fuck.
God damn. All right. Cut the stream. We're done.
All right. It's over.
You damn set it. Me up for one. I tried to set you up for one. God dang it, man.
I know. I'm terrible. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Just like OJ Simpson. It, yeah. But not the sorry part, just the terrible part.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, part of me wants to get his book if I did it, just to read it. Like, I could just read it like as an episode of the show. Like, I'll do parts of it, you know. But all right, chapter one.
See, I'm so glad you brought that up because a buddy of mine had shared. I'm the name is leaving me right now, but there was this guy that wrote this book, this documentary. That was talking, basically he was saying, I'm proving that OJ Simpson didn't do it. Mm. And here's all the evidence I have. A very good friend of mine, who's a very smart guy, said, I've read this book and I've talked to this author and I'm convinced. Like he's persuaded me that 100% OJ didn't do it. And that apparently he gave a couple of really good potential suspects, but that it just, here's all the reasons why it 100% couldn't be OJ. And one of the biggest things that I said back to him was that, well, obviously, full disclosure, I haven't read this guy's book. I don't know what the key pieces of evidence that he lays out are and whether or not they've been scrutinized. But I do know that a normal person would not have done the If I Did It book.
Yeah.
Like a normal person would not have survived the trial only to then kind of circle the wagons and use what happened as a vehicle for his own celebrity.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Yeah, like, I mean, because you just, it's one of those things where you put yourselves in those shoes, right? Like, imagine if the worst had happened and you come home one day and there's a murder scene in your house. And then, of course, you know, the man is always the prime suspect. We all know that. The cops obviously know that because they're just going to arrest you on the spot because they just assume you did. It doesn't matter.
Right.
And we also know the way law. Look, I'm not defending OJ here, but we also know that the way law enforcement works is A, they assume you did it because oftentimes the spouse did. And they're going to try to pin it on you harder than they will try to find any other suspects. If they can make you fit for it, they'll quit searching for anyone else. And so I'm willing to believe that happens to people and that could have even happened to him. But, you know, you put yourself in those shoes where it's like, you know, they made a movie about this. It's called The Fugitive. Harrison Ford, Tommy Lee Jones. Great movie. But anyway, you know, if you're in that position, you're like, well, I obviously didn't do it. And this is a huge tragedy. And I'm reeling. Like, I'm just numb inside because my life has been turned upside down. And now they're trying to pin it on me. You know, oh my God, what do I do? And now your life is destroyed because your face is on TV everywhere and you can't, you know, you get fired. You'll never work in this town again, blah, 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 blah. If that's what actually happened, and then by some miracle, you managed to come out on the other side and clear your name. The obvious first answer is that, well, your name might be cleared, but your family is still gone, right? Like that just means you now get to start picking up the pieces that you would have had to start picking up years ago before your multi-million dollar trial.
Yeah.
Could you imagine then getting with a ghost writer and writing a book about theorizing what you would have done if you were the killer? Could you even imagine doing that?
I mean, that is pretty, I don't know. That's pretty weird. Hey, let me give you some scenarios on what I would have done if I had killed my wife and that waiter.
Yeah.
But, you know, he also said, O.J. Simpson, he said that he vowed never to rest until he found the killers. But then, you know, he ends up dying. So obviously he was a hypocrite.
Yeah. You know, that's the worst thing about him is the hypocrisy.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I would have thought it was the killing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I don't know. You know, wherever he's burning tonight is where he'll have to come to terms with all that. But I do remember there was that initial push. Like, I'm old enough to remember that whole incident pretty vividly. Like, I remember being at home and seeing the court updates, you know, by the freaking hour on daytime TV, and
crazy
it being school, you know, during the summer when you're home from school, and it's just nonstop.
It's like 9/11.
Yeah. Yes, it was just like 9/11. Oh my God. Right. Yeah, we were just being prepared for the
you
real
got off, you got to get go to, you know, go home early from school. It's like, you know what? Just go home. OJ Simpson's on trial.
Oh, they didn't let us go home for 9/11. You went home for 9/11? I didn't.
No, I'm just saying. It would be kind of interesting. That's what okay. It was such a huge event. Oh, you can go home and watch it at home. Go ahead. You don't need to learn anything today.
Yeah. It's one of those things, too, where it's one of those chapters in American history where, looking back at with the power of hindsight, you just wonder, and I'm not talking about the actual case or the killings, just talk, but the impact, just the parade, just the madness of it all. It's like, why did that happen? Why was this on TV? Why was it on every news channel 24/7? Why were they giving breaking news updates of so-and-so's testifying and blah, 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 blah every single afternoon? Like, there's things that happen in the world every day, all the time, and they don't get that kind of coverage. I'll at least give it to you that the 9/11 analogy is a good one, in the sense of when 9/11 happened, then needless to say, no matter what channel you turn to, they would have broken away from whatever their regular programming was. And that's what was on TV. And it's just round the clock, you know, but they did that for O.J. Simpson killing his ex-wife and a waiter.
Yeah.
It's like, I shouldn't say who cares, because people died and it's sad. Yeah. But who cares about O.J. Simpson is what I'm really saying. Like, he was not like he was in the Naked Gun movies or whatever, but he's like, he wasn't that big of a star. He wasn't the biggest NFL star either. Even in his heyday, he wasn't like the biggest guy. And he certainly wasn't by, you know, 1994. So it's like, why is this? I don't know.
And he played for the 49ers. Booyah.
O.J. Simpson? He played for the Bills.
He did play for the Bills for like most of his career. But then he played for the Niners for, I think, a season or two. Mm-hmm. Yeah. At the end.
Yeah.
So.
And then, you know, and then, of course, in his like elderly days, he's like trying to do podcasts and
Hello, he's Twitter, like, world. You know,
yeah, he's doing his little selfie things with his phone and making doing like political and commentary.
Every
and,
single time you look at the replies, there's always every single one is see, you cut that one. You just cut right to the point, or you know, something to do with a knife or slashing, cutting, something to do with that every single time.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. He would go, he'd go on there and, you know, he would be saying like, oh, hey, I'm taking the Knicks tonight over the whatever. And people are like, yeah. Killer pick, OJ.
Yeah. Yeah. Killer pick. Yep.
I mean, you know, and he totally deserved it, but
yeah, he got acquitted. But then, of course, he did the whole, you know, stealing his own shirts thing and gets, what, like 35 consecutive life sentences or whatever it was.
Well, first, you know, a big part of the reason why he did some of the stuff he did after the fact was because he was in so much financial trouble.
Right, right.
Not just from the trial itself, but then from the civil lawsuit that he lost to the Goldmans. Because, you know, people whose name is Goldman need more money. But that being neither here nor there, because we moved on from that segment.
Yeah.
He was in financial dire straits. And so he was doing all this stuff to try to generate income. And then he somehow wound up getting into like these physical altercations about his memorabilia and all this crap. And of course, you know, and then on top of that, it's like, for obviously what he did was stupid. No matter what, no matter who it is and why they did it, what he did was dumb. But on top of it, it's, dude, you're OJ Simpson. You can't be going 36 and a 35. You can't do anything. You're OJ Simpson. So any chance that any authority has to get a mugshot of you, they're totally going to take it and parade you around and try, because they're going to try to get that, you know, sweet, sweet notoriety. Oh, look at us. We got OJ Simpson. So yeah, it's so stupid what he did. I did see, I see that you named this little segment OJ Simpson's legacy. I saw that the retards on ESPN were talking about this, but like seriously.
Yeah.
And they were, some of them were trying to paint it as, oh, he had a complicated legacy.
Oh yeah.
Like, yeah, you don't say.
So what I don't know how to think is like, speaking of stupid, I was just having this random thought, like, whatever happened to that that knit cap? Like, where's that? Did someone buy that? Is that some kind of like memorabilia that someone could buy? Oh, that's OJ Simpson's knit cap that he allegedly killed two people. And you, I want to have that. I wonder how much that would cost.
I don't know. Now I saw some people were saying something about that they actually think it was his son. They think his son was actually the real killer.
Wasn't one of the and I mean, yeah, it is possible, because I don't know what his son's shoe size was, but apparently there were some shoes there that were pretty much the size was basically OJ's size, but I don't know what his son's size were, but if they were pretty similar, then that's possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. They were saying something about that his son had some type of connection or beef to like Goldman or whatever, and on top of that, or like hated his mom or and all this crap. And so, but that there was motive, and that he would fit the description. So like some of it makes sense, but then it's like, well, you know, maybe OJ, you know, did OJ know that it was his son and he was trying to protect his son, or did he not know it was his son? But obviously the son obviously would know, but dad doesn't know, and he's potentially going down for it. I mean, I don't know. I'll be honest, I haven't really gone down that rabbit hole, but there have been people in recent times try to make the argument that there are a handful of other like genuine suspects now, but to me, that's less about OJ directly and more about the fact that the police, you know, the police and the prosecution were just such complete morons.
Yeah.
Like in a scenario where OJ was genuinely innocent, which I don't believe, then them being morons, they're, you know, whatever, they're morons, but luckily they didn't, you know, get a innocent man in jail. But in a scenario where OJ was either direct. My theory always was is that he was more of an assassin thing. Like he, and it doesn't have to be sexy. It's not like he hired a ninja.
Yeah, right.
Throw shurikens at him. It's just he just paid some dude to do the deed.
Colombian hitman.
Yeah, the Colombian hitman. See, like I'm not going into the whole Colombian hitman thing, but I think it's more that he may have had them killed, as opposed to he killed them. But either way, he would still be guilty in that scenario. But either way, like I said, he would be guilty either way, whether he did it or somebody else did it, and he was in on it. But the police were just atrocious, like. The terrible work at the crime scene. They didn't follow up on a crap ton of other leads. Again, this is the MO for a lot of police is that, well, hey, look, we've got the jilted ex-spouse and he's on the run. So book him, case closed. We're done, guys. We found the killer. And even if you strongly believe he was in fact the killer, they didn't do like any other investigating at all. They let all the leads go super cold. They don't track down anyone else. They don't talk to anyone else. They don't follow up on any other people who were in the area, anyone else who matches the description. Again, I'm not saying that OJ is innocent, but they certainly don't follow up on anything he has to say because they have their suspect, right? So that's less of an OJ thing and more of a they do that all the time thing to people all over. I'll tell you what, The Fugitive was a great movie.
Well, that covers the main developments in the OJ Simpson case this week. And after all, other important things are going on in the world. Now more OJ Simpson.
Exactly.
So did you hear that Galen Hurd? I don't know if you know who Galen Hurd is. But she's a executive producer for film and television. And one of her big credits is that she was part of the Terminator and Terminator 2. She was producers of those films. So, of course, we heard about that story from Arnold Schwarzenegger, who said it a lot, where O.J. Simpson was originally going to be the Arnold character, the Terminator, because OJ Simpson, but of course they didn't hire him because he wasn't believable as a killer. Well, Galen Hurd tweeted out, I realized that Arnold claims that OJ Simpson was cast as the Terminator before we cast him. That is 100% not true. And I should know, Jim and I never ever considered OJ, not even for a nanosecond. So Arnold Schwarzenegger is a liar, according to Galen Hurd.
Now, see, I was, because we talked about this earlier, there was a huge statement going around from a lady who had worked at an office at USC, and that's where OJ went to college. And and there was a meeting there of legal minds of his defense team. And they apparently were confident that he was going to get off, which he ultimately did. Mm-hmm. And then they went to this assistant lady and allegedly she claims that they made her sign an NDA that she couldn't talk about this meeting and who was there and all that stuff. And that also when he was in college, he had gotten in trouble where he apparently had battered a couple of women and sexually assaulted them, but they got him out of trouble because, good old boys in school and he's the star running back. And so they got him out of trouble and all this stuff. Yeah. But everything about that story is bullshit. Like everything about all of her commentary, it just reeks of fallacies. And so first of all, you wouldn't sign an NDA in that situation. So you can't be forced to sign an NDA about not talking about people breaking the law. Like if you see me shoot a kid, I can't then tell you, hey, you signed an NDA. You can't go tell the cops I shot that kid. So that's not how that works. So she's lying is the point of being. So I think that there's those people too. Like there's those people who are like, oh, well now that he's back in the news and I've got this teeny tiny little connection of we were in the same place at the same time. Now I'm going to drop my little tell all. Let me tell you about the real OJ. Jesus Christ.
The real OJ. The real OJ was a killer. It's a killer.
Yeah.
Killer running back. And
yeah. Killer on the gridiron. Yeah.
Killer on the set. Good actor, Nick a gun, as we've mentioned. And apparently he was really good with a knife, from what I've heard.
Yeah. You know they're remaking Naked Gun?
Yeah, with possibly, I think it's, I don't know if it's been 100% confirmed, Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson.
Who I think would be absolutely perfect. I think he's perfect for that.
Yeah.
The way his humor, perfect.
Yeah, I guess they're not bringing back OJ, huh?
No, maybe they'll have Jesse Smollett be that character that he played.
Yeah, yeah. Who will play the OJ character? Yeah. That's right. That's a really important question.
Yeah.
How? See, it's one of those things that they would never do it because of the backlash and the boycotts. But how hilarious would it have been if they had been planning on casting OJ to reprise his role?
That would have been funny.
It would have been funny. I would have laughed, but I can understand that they wouldn't do it because there'd be so many ninnies out there that would.
Hey, that guy's a murderer, allegedly, and also he was acquitted. So,
yeah, and he was great in these movies. Hello, you know, which he kind of was. So
what do you think about the aspect of the race aspect of it? Because I was seeing a couple of clips where this is just a headline, so I'm not going to tell you I read the thing, but it says CNN contributor, so right there you already know that it's going to be a great thing
perfect to say.
OJ Simpson quote represented something for black people because there were two white people killed. So, and I think the jury was pretty much, I think it was like 9 black people and maybe 3 white people. So anyway, also, there's a clip that I wanted to show you where someone was actually kind of talking about that as to why O.J. Simpson was kind of acquitted, I guess.
I've seen this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think that they're members of the jury that voted to acquit OJ because of Rodney King?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
How many of you think felt that way?
Oh, probably 90% of them.
Mm-hmm. 90%? Did you feel that way?
Yes.
That was payback.
Uh-huh.
You think that's right?
Well, you know, just shrug your shoulders and, you know, let a killer go free. It's fine. But, you know, he's black, mm-hmm. so that's what's the most important thing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But,
yeah, and again, who knows?
It, like, right.
Right. Yeah. But again, who knows if she's just playing it up?
I had seen that. So there's been multiple jurors who have alluded to that. Now, I can't know what the percentage is. I don't know what's in their minds. I wasn't there, but there, that has been around. That's been around for a long time that element existed. Now, the question I would have is that if they're saying that 90% of the jury thought he committed the murders, but set him free anyway, did the other 10% of the jury vote to convict? Or did the other 10% of the jury not think he committed the murders? Because, of course, it's a jury trial, so it has to be unanimous. So he would have been acquitted if even one person thought he was not guilty. So that it's – they have to get their facts straight on that stuff, which they can't because that's the whole point of a secret jury. You don't know. But if even one person thought he was innocent, then he would have been acquitted. So the fact that they're trying to say, well, there was this huge percentage of the jury that thought that, then I think the more interesting thing would be is that did 100% of the jury think he was guilty? If that's true, then obviously he should have been found guilty. But are they saying that 100% of the jury did think that, but that 90% of them then put in not guilty? Because that's... They should just be drug out in the street and shot.
And and I think also that, like, at the time, like 3 of the ladies, whatever, did an interview saying, "Why did you acquit him?" Whatever, and they're basically saying, "Well, if he really did it, there would have been blood stains all over the front doors and the gates and the light switches." And then Norm MacDonald does the, "Well, you know, AJ, Al Callahan's had a book that says how to get blood stains off of front doors, gates, and light switches. It's like, well, yeah, there you go. Just clean it off. And hey, there's no bloodstains here. I guess he's fine. Guess he's innocent. Yeah.
I mean, it really says something that, like, you know, what's interesting is that if you ever watch like TV and movies, they always seem to suggest that what you really want is a jury trial. You don't want your hands or your fate in the hands of a judge. You want that jury, because then that they can sympathize with you. Well, first of all, if you're implying that the jury is better because they can sympathize with you, then you're saying right off the bat that the jury is incorrect, because they're not supposed to be sympathizing with anyone. They're supposed to just be hearing the facts of the case and then make a decision. There is no sympathizing.
Yeah.
But we know that people are not infallible, right? Like, we know that human beings are going to have biases and agendas. We actually talked about this just this past week on the show, is that I don't operate under the assumption that people don't. I operate under the assumption that everyone's got their biases and their agenda.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So I think that of juries too. But there's a case to be made that the system of the jury trial doesn't work. Because you can have retards. I mean, you know, that's how it is. Now the thing is, you know, they asked her in that clip, you know, do you think that, because she never said I did that. She said people did that. She never self incriminated. If I juried, this is what I would have said. Yeah. and then when he asked her, do you think that's right? She never really made a strong claim one way or the other.
She ain't gonna snitch. She ain't no
well
snitch.
She's not snitching because she doesn't want to be on the record as openly saying I purposely did this on the jury for this reason.
That, right.
I don't actually know if that opens her up to,
I don't know,
a potential penalty or not. I don't think it does, because of course, I mean, you have jury nullification. If you and I were on the jury and we thought, you know, that he shouldn't have been found guilty because we think that, you know, by God, you ought to just be able to put your ex-wife in line, then that's technically your right to do as a juror. Now, we don't, that would be a really horrible miscarriage of justice, obviously. Like, when we think of jury nullification, we think of like weed, right? Like, if they got some kid going to jail for weed, it's like, no, I'm going to vote not guilty by reason of it's a stupid law. That's
well,
totally speak your
for
right
yourself.
To do.
Speak
but
for
if
yourself,
you, but if you think homicide is a stupid law, then you shouldn't have been on that jury. Obviously, they should have never let it go.
No, I think he should have, you know, slapped her around a few times. You know, maybe he shot her in the leg. That's fine. Then she'll understand. OJ Simpson means business.
How did a jury get that many black people on it when blacks only make up like, you know, 11% of the population?
Jury of your own peers.
But those aren't his own peers. That doesn't look like his peers. His peers would have been like 70% white.
Or football players, you know, because you're a football player, actors. There you go. There's your peers right there. You're hanging around with these people a lot.
Well, that's the whole jury of your peers thing, obviously, runs into issues because you have like changes of what do they call it? Change of venue or whatever. Because they'll say that, well, I can't get a fair trial here because everybody here hates me and thinks I did it. So you need to move it somewhere where everyone doesn't already have an opinion on me. But you don't see that a lot with like celebrities and stuff, because it's like, dude, everybody knows you. You can't, where are we going to go to have the trial where they're not going to know, you know, who you are,
do
and what you did?
Do you, you're on TV. Do you actually know OJ Simpson? Like, do you know what the O in OJ means? What it stands for?
The O?
Yeah,
I used to know. It just left my mind right now. But I used to know what it was.
Well, I'll
is
tell
it,
you.
Is
it's
is it,
Orenthal.
Orenthal, J. Simpson. Yeah.
What kind of a fucking name is that? Orenthal.
Okay.
Menthol. Maybe he loves menthol. Yeah.
Okay. We're treading back into that racist territory again. I just wanted to be on the record, guys. It's Shane. It turns out, huge shocker, it's Shane that was racist. It wasn't me. It was never me. It was Shane Come the on. Whole time. It wasn't it's the
not,
white guy.
No, it's not.
You
it's,
just wanted to play me.
I know it's a stereotype, but they love menthols. I don't know what to tell you, Alan.
The moment hey, you said, like, what kind of fucking name is Orenthal? I immediately thought, oh, here we go. Because I know who named him Orenthal. Some black people did. So I'm just going to keep my mouth shut and let
Shane. Well,
maybe
he's half black. Maybe he's half black and half white. I don't know. I'm not going to look into his family history. I have no clue.
I'm just not going to.
Probably his family are probably like, you know, slaves or something. And they brought him over here to America and do some hard work. Maybe. I don't know. His freaking ancestors. I have no clue. I'm just spitballing here.
You okay?
What?
You believe O.J. Simpson's parents might have been slaves?
Did I say parents?
Yes.
Okay, that was the wrong word. Ancestors, great grandparents. I don't know. Great 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 grandparents. Am I wrong? Probably am. Right? I'm probably wrong.
Well, I mean, he was born in 47. He's right. Only like he's like a year and a half older than my dad. So let me tell you, my grandparents didn't own slaves, Shane.
Oh,
just
good.
So that you, yeah, they didn't. So you could rest easy. Now my great 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 parent grandparents, they also didn't. But by God, they defend your right to have them.
I was gonna say that's part of the economy. That's okay, right? Like, that would be good. Like, in a libertarian society, if you wanted to buy people to work hard, do hard work in your yard, that's fine, right? Because it was a transaction, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that I have libertarianism right.
They're also trying to say that O.J. Simpson's dad was a drag queen.
What?
Yeah. It's a...
His father reportedly worked as an employee of the Federal Reserve Bank as a one-time.
Oh my God, how perfect is this? O.J. Simpson's father, who was an out San Francisco drag queen. I'm going to give you one guess. Don't look. All right, his dad was a drag queen in San Francisco.
Okay.
He died in 1986. What did he die of? You only get one guess.
Did he die of AIDS?
He did die of AIDS. Yes.
I mean, come on.
Oh, I mean, these geez. Things just
yeah,
write
and I'm
themselves.
The one that yeah, I'm yeah. the one that was being racist.
I just it's just a fact. I'm not saying anything. He could have died of something
hey,
else.
Speaking that... facts too. They love menthols.
It's not my fault he died of AIDS. It's all the homosexual sex he has while he died of AIDS.
I'm glad that we could tie that to the other story we talked about, that person who wanted to, anyway. Well, I'm glad we know what O.J. Simpson's legacy is going to be. He was a football player. He was an actor. He was an alleged killer of two people. Could have been three, but who knows? You know, he could have went out and killed more people. Who knows? And also was a really good punching bag for Norm Macdonald on Weekend Update. I mean, probably his most famous jokes are all OJ's joke or all OJ jokes.
Probably. Oh, the OJ joke he told at the ESPYs was god tier because it's a venue where you just don't expect that at all, and he just drops that boom.
Yeah. Something they can never take away from you. Unless you kill your wife and a waiter, in which case.
Yeah. Oh my God. Jesus.
Only
yeah.
made better because Ken Griffey Jr. is like, what did you just say?
Oh yeah. The audience was like torn on the joke. I mean, there was what's funny is of course they go and look at, you know, whatever Desmond Howard or whatever.
Yeah.
And they, you know, you've got some dudes like putting their head down in their hands and shaking their head, but you've got some other dudes around them laughing their asses off too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not just white and black. A lot of people were torn. There were blacks who were like, yeah, he did it. I mean, obviously, duh, you know, and they're laughing at Norm's jokes and you know.
And it's the crazy thing too, that when he died, I would say like 3/4 of the tweets were all, oh, here's 11 minutes of Norm Macdonald joking about O.J. Simpson during a trial. Or here's a joke that he was doing when he went on doing his Norm Macdonald YouTube show, whatever it was. Here he is talking about O.J. But there's also a pecking order, you know, because he was in jail. He's going to jail, and there's a pecking order. You know, the double homicides, they're way up on the list of the pecking order. But the people who still own shirts, way down in the pecking order. You know what that usually means? It's a lot of ass fucking.
See, I'm the only thing I have to say about O.J. Simpson is that it's super selfish that he died on a Thursday when my show was Wednesday night. And, I could do a bomb segment in the monologue about O.J. Simpson, but I couldn't because he died the next day. And now I probably won't because it's like the oldest possible old news. If something happens on a Thursday, I can't wait until all the way to the next Wednesday night. So I'm probably not going to say anything about it. And that's such a bummer because this was made for me. For my show. He just waited too long.
Like a cold open of it. I mean, I'll do stuff that fuck happened 5 days ago. I'll still joke about it. It's fine. Whatever. Yeah. Who cares? Yeah, nobody's watching anyway.
The thing is that there'll be so much stuff that'll happen between now and then is that, it gets replaced, you know, I need all the huge breaking news to happen Tuesday at noon. That's peak for me. Cause
like
I'm
Monday, right Tuesday time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I need. Or I need it to be a developing story so that I'm coming in with the breaking news. Yeah.
You can say developing story on the O.J. Simpson death. His corpse is even more rotted. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Here's a picture of his corpse.
What's next for O.J.? Death.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I will not eat a single morsel of food until O.J. Simpson is dead and buried. O.J. Simpson died on Thursday.
Yeah. Yeah,
just start eating a bunch of chicken.
Yeah,
there you go.
You could
totally do that on your show. Just do that.
See, if it had been fresher, I probably would have done a highlight reel of OJ jokes in the cold open.
Yeah,
and then we would have started the show, and then we would have done a bit about him. It probably would have been my little bit I do, where I do like 7 or 8 or 9 straight puns, one liners, and Dave mm-hmm. just gets progressively more uncomfortable. It probably would have been about OJ.
Can we please move on now?
Yeah, but it's like I said, it'll be too late, man. It doesn't matter how good it is. It's just.
But your show's called "It's Too Late."
I know. I know. There you go. Said the word, all the alarms go off. He said it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Something else great will happen. We'll do that. Man, our Greg Abbott thing actually really took off. I did one about him and being a paraplegic, and it was pretty hot. Yeah. So what other handicapped person can I make fun of next week? We'll just have to wait to find out.
Yeah, I guess we'll find out. Mm-hmm. Speaking of your show, where can people go find your show?
They can go to YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, your favorite podcasting platforms like Spotify and whatever. It's at Alan Mosley. Oh wow. Look at this thing that he did at Alan Mosley TV. You go there, cool. you're in. New episodes Wednesday nights, 9 o'clock Eastern time. Best late night show in America, not hosted by a communist.
Yeah, and go follow him on Twitter at Alan Mosley TV. It's a good follow. Every once in a while, he has a good tweet. The other ones are, but when he has bangers, woof, they are bangers. So there you go. Yeah,
I don't know. I feel like you're it. What content is it that gets you? What are the ones that really get you? I don't think you want the political commentary. What is it that you want?
What I want,
mm-hmm.
just try to, just a random normal from weekend date. Perfect. I'll retweet that every day, every time. Maybe I should start doing that. I'll just start tweeting out a random weekend update that has nothing to do with what's going on. Oh, wait, you're talking about Bill Clinton as president? It's weird.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll just start doing that maybe. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, it's become pretty big. Like, people will take his jokes and remake them. I saw some idiot was going around on Twitter because they had made a comment that an older U.S. president. I forget which one he were talking about now, John Tyler or something like that, that guy was responsible for the Holocaust. That guy was actually responsible for his older family members who were Jews dying in Poland. And the reason he's responsible is because during his administration, they had restricted immigration and had denied those people visas. And so since they were not allowed to immigrate, you know, 40 years prior or whatever, his family wasn't able to go to America. It's his fault that they died in the Holocaust. And so somebody had posted a screenshot of Norm and Jerry Seinfeld and that Comedians in Car getting coffee. And they had changed the caption they say that John Tyler was responsible for the Holocaust, but I disagree. I would have said it was the Nazis.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, dude, wow. Norm jokes are going to be timeless.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, speaking of timeless, the show's over. Yeah, thanks for joining us and thanks for watching and listening. And we will be here next week. Another famous celebrity will have died and we can talk about Norm Macdonald again. We'll see. I don't know. Maybe Hillary Clinton will finally die. We'll find out.
Yeah. Well, he also hated Barbara Walters, but she's already dead. So.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Who else did he hate? Yeah.
Who else did he hate?
Hillary Clinton would be the best. It'd be the best.
Yeah. Operation Frayed Wire.